from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. The reason G is practically giggling at this point is because after scenarios, I realized I hadn't heard or I kind of misunderstood the story. I just want you guys to realize that I hear it for the first time when you are hearing it for the first time. And I think I'm better when I actually read something and absorb it versus, you know, listening to someone rattle off all these details. I missed the part about the bill being for all members of that party. So not just, I thought he was rejecting paying for himself and his girlfriend and embarrassing her. I didn't realize that the expectation was for him to pay for everybody in the group, and they're ticked off about that. No, that's not fair. That's ridiculous.
Can I share something?
Yeah, you know, you love putting me in that position.
So here's the deal. 98973 is our state roofing text line. The majority of you listening, you don't bother to text. I get that. But then there's a text community that loves to text every day. Now, since the show has been around, I think I'm probably the only one of the radio hosts on Cairo that goes back and forth with listeners. Why? Because, I don't know, you're there to talk to, so I'm going to do it.
Because you're glued to your phone.
Yeah, that's true, too. Now, Ursula, over the last 2 weeks,
yes,
has now been on the text line.
Yes.
Well, since she's been on it, she now is starting to get an understanding why, and now she just realized, thanks to you texters,
I now missed a big part of the story.
She doesn't want to go first anymore.
No.
It took her a year and a half. And look, ladies and gentlemen, I've been waiting. I couldn't believe that Ursula continues to volunteer to go first every time, but she does. And she says, you know, I don't know if I want to go first anymore.
Nope.
Because you texters let Ursula have it just now. I mean, have it. And Ursula says, I need to make a correction.
Yes. Because I didn't realize that they were expecting him to pay for all of their meals. That's not cool. That's not fair. But all but I think that he could have done it a lot more subtly. So
okay,
let's go.
Well, let's get to Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
So this just came down in the last hour. A group of nearly 60 major medical organizations, including the American Medical Association and the American Nurses Association, called today for mandatory vaccination of healthcare workers, just across the board. They say that vaccination is an ethical obligation for healthcare workers. Gee, should people in the medical profession be able to refuse getting the vaccine?
Sure. Yeah. And then leave the profession. Like there's been some football coaches that said, hey, I'm not coaching football because you guys are making it a requirement for me to get the vaccine. So they decided to leave the game of football. So it's not like people are going to fight for them. So based on your job and what you have to do, how many people don't have a job today because they had marijuana in their system? Were you guys upset that people didn't get jobs because they had traces of marijuana in their system? So in this case, if the job requires you to have a vaccination, then yes, then you should be required to get the vaccination, or you choose not to be in that field anymore.
I don't think it's as clear cut in some other professions, but for me, if you are in the healthcare field and you are facing patients and you are in contact with people who could be vulnerable, then yes, absolutely, you should be required to get the vaccine, especially now as we see what is happening. And when people go to the hospital, they expect that the people who are going to be caring for them are not going to be carriers or put them in further danger when they're already vulnerable. So I think that absolutely it should be mandatory for healthcare workers. I think the exemption should only be if you're not facing anybody and you have a legitimate reason. If you're not facing anybody that could be put into potential risk. But that's one I just have a hard time arguing against. And now these medical groups are saying, yes, it should be the case. Yet, wasn't it like 25% to 30% of people in the healthcare profession are choosing not to get vaccinated? That was a statistic at some point in time. I don't know if that's the same right now. as we've learned more. But there are other professions, I think, that they're, it's harder to say it's mandatory.
Can I ask this question?
Yes.
And the listeners too, 989-73 State Roofing Text Line. If someone was to be taking care of your parents or your loved one, would you want that person to be vaccinated?
Absolutely.
Yes or no? You say yes?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I would. I'm willing to bet that answer is yes with a higher percentage, like even more so than those getting the vaccine. Like, I believe that people who are having their loved ones taken care of by a healthcare official would rather that person be vaccinated than not.
Okay. And I think that we're going to find mostly agreement. I think there are going to be some who will still say no and give us the reason. But what about a place like ours? It's not so clear. A business like ours, do you think that our company could have a vaccine requirement and work?
Do I think that they will?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We have mandatory mask wearing.
Here's what I believe. Yes, we have mandatory mask wearing, which has not been lifted at all since this whole pandemic has started. No, I don't think that our company will make it mandatory for its employees to get the vaccine. No, I don't think they will.
And this is one more quick COVID thing along the same lines. Here in King County, Health Officer Jeff Duchin says that everyone, whether vaccinated or not, should start wearing a mask indoors. Ursula, are you going to start wearing a mask when you go out in public, when you're indoors, and should that be mandatory?
I think it should stay a recommendation, and yes, I am going to. I am fully vaccinated, and yes, I will wear a mask. I will point out again and again that I have not been sick for the past year and a half, so I do believe that masks are one of the great weapons that we have. Even if it's just a slighter chance of decreasing the risk, I'm willing to do that. I'm also going to wear a mask on behalf of the people who cannot get vaccinated, namely people who are with immunocompromised systems or children under the age of 12. So, yes. And in fact, over the weekend, I did go to some indoor public spaces and I wore a mask, even though it was not mandatory. How about you, G?
Yes, I'm going to wear a mask. I want to continue to wear a mask now when I go in public places. And here's why.
Do you think it should be mandatory, though? Should we have a state mandate?
No, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go with you, Ursula. I'm going to stay with the recommendation. I'm not going to go with the mandate. I'm going to go with the recommendation because I do believe that if we don't get on top of this stuff, that is at some point going to be mandatory. And what I mean by that is we're getting closer to that time because school is about to start, Ursula. Back to school is going to happen, and that is going to be where the problem is. So many kids who are too young to get the vaccine are going to be going to school.
Yeah,
and that's the problem.
So both of you and I are hoping that both you and I are hoping that with a recommendation, people will do it, even though it's not mandatory. And
yes.
I know that they're...
Are we naive? I'm asking you. Are we naive to be saying that? Are we naive to say, no, keep it at a recommendation?
No, I think we're just exhausted. I think we're exhausted trying to fight it. So I think the only thing that you can guarantee is what you do for yourself and what you can control for yourself and your own family.
So a new law banning single-use plastic bags in Washington, the whole state, is starting this fall. And some business owners are worried about the cost, especially after having to deal with COVID and the lack of income. Business owners say cloth bags are noble, but they cost them a lot more money. And one owner told King 5 that rather than putting regulations on small businesses, state officials should look at the bigger corporations like Amazon and other box stores.
Come on.
Because you get tons of packaging, plastic, box within a box with that. So, gee, should we have a statewide plastic bag ban? Are you for this?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's other problems in this country, not the person is going out to rescue the groceries and carry them all at one time into the house. So do you know what this means? This means going from one to two trips to maybe 8 to 10 trips could, and for somebody that is as lazy as I am, I love that one trip, Ursula. So agree. Amazon, I guarantee you, contributes to a lot of this problem way more than us people going to the local grocery stores to get a few bags. Did I make that argument good enough?
No, it sounded like a whataboutism, which is your favorite thing. Like, what about Amazon? You know what? I think there is a good point to be made. Amazon and other companies, all that waste, all those... I just cringe every time I order something and I look at all the packaging that comes with it for some tiny little thing.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely right. And that's probably a lot more, although, yes, some of that's recyclable. The problem with the plastic bags, G, is that there is no end to them. They don't go away. So I wish that there was some kind of other thing that they could come up with that would, I know it's an inconvenience, but I'm going to go with the folks who say it's time to get rid of those plastic bags. But I wish there was maybe a longer grace period for the businesses, especially since they've just gone through COVID.
Can we keep it a buck, though?
Yeah.
Like all the way a buck on this.
Yeah.
The plastic bag ban is going to be a moneymaker for businesses, especially these grocery stores. I mean, come on, Ursula, 8 cents a bag?
Yeah, this has been happening.
8 cents a
You're
bag?
You're just getting into it. This has been happening in Seattle now for a while.
I don't shop in Seattle. Newsflash, I don't shop in Seattle.
Newsflash, this has been happening. I mean, I have survived without those flimsy plastic bags, which you end up having to do double or triple.
How about the trees? How about the trees? Save the trees.
That's why you recycle. That's why you... I still haven't done the reusable bag, but I'm working toward that.
8 cents for some paper. 8 cents for some paper.
Yeah, that's
Say
your
it
fault.
Out. Write this down, everybody.
You have
Eight
options.
8 cents for some paper.
Yeah, you have options.
What about my cat litter? What about that? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
Earlier in the show, we talked about a Washington couple that's being sued for $112,000 for leaving a one-star Google review. There were some questions about the specifics of that story, but Ursula, couple of things here. Do you trust Yelp and Google reviews yourself? And do you think it's a good thing that any business can be judged online, or should the companies be able to fight back?
If a company has many, many, many reviews, or let's say a potential dog sitter, I absolutely look to see what people are saying. If it's 3 or 5 reviews and it's 5 stars, I don't give that much weight. Same with if it's 3 to 5 and it's really low, I don't give that much. But if it's hundreds and hundreds of people weighing in on something and they're all saying, yes, this is a fantastic company, or many of them are giving them bad reviews, then yeah, I think that there is something to it. Are there restaurants where I've gone to eat and I love it and they have terrible reviews? Yes. But if I'm going to invest a lot of money, or if I'm going to do something like, I do Rover when we do pet sitting, and absolutely I'm going to pay attention to reviews. I don't want anyone handling Scooter if they're not going to have amazing reviews by a lot of people.
Jump in the carpool lane with me for a second, ride, and check this out. The quick fix to a lot of these things would be for not just the business to be rated, the people. That's right, each individual. Example. You go to these different restaurants or places, and in the case of the restaurant we went to yesterday, when you go to BJ's, you can give them your phone number, right? And then when you give them your phone number, you go to sit down. So they have this is who you are. This is your deal. Well, if you're nice and you're good to the staff and appreciative and those things, the server in the restaurant, they get to rate you on your deal. And so now you got this kumbaya rating type of thing, right? And so all of a sudden, because you have above a 4-star, let's say it's out of 5 stars, Ursula, because you have above a 4-star, you get discounts that those under 4 stars don't get.
Oh.
How you like that? Because here's the thing.
You're always looking for the discounts or whatever. And right now, they're hurting.
wait a minute. No, because I believe, and you have been out with me in public.
I
believe that the way I treat people.
Yes.
I treat people, businesses, same with you, Ursula. I treat them with so much respect. And I think the problem is we got a lot of people who lack, handing out respect, and they messing it up for everybody. All the Yelp reviews are messed up. So let's get this whole honor system. Let's just put the don't put the onus on the businesses. Let's put it on the people too.
Interesting. Interesting. So just kind of like, I think you're thinking like Uber drivers can rate the customer.
Absolutely. And okay. By the way, when my kids were younger, I used to tell them the rules because my rating is important to me. My Uber ratings is important.
Yes. Yeah. And why? Because then people. Yeah. So you get rewarded for that. You've got to look at same with Amazon. You know what reviews are not equal? Amazon reviews. If you look at Amazon reviews, mm-hmm. I would not put any stock in that. Because I have seen where Amazon reviews, they are the same for different products, and they say thousands of people review, and then you look at the reviews, and I'm skeptical, especially since I know every time I buy something, I'm offered a free product if you get, write in, blah, blah, blah. So it can only be a tool. It cannot be your only tool when deciding whether to support a business. How's that?
And one more thing, too. Ursula, that's a great point you're making about those Amazon reviews. And also, we need to put those bad tippers out there, too. Y'all know who y'all are. You got some bad tippers out there, Ursula, that have all these folks doing all this good work, and then at the very end, tip bad. So we have a tip rating on them, too.
I guess we have all sorts of time. Just do reviews everywhere.
Okay, what we got next, Chris?
Real quick, we got a lot of people wondered, since there's a lot of unoccupied office spaces in many downtowns right now, and there's a housing and homeless problem in most major cities, why don't we just convert the office buildings into apartments? Gee, do you think that's a good idea?
Oh, yeah, it's a great idea. This is fantastic. Why didn't I think of that? Now, when you do that, and then when we're going to staff that place, we're going to staff them with those making minimum wage. Great, great idea, Ursula. Let's do it.
I wish it were that easy. So all these big cities, there's a whole article, and the reason you're bringing this up is because NBC News did a story on why empty offices aren't being turned into housing despite the lengthy vacancies. And apparently some of those buildings just are not easily converted into housing. Some of them are too big. Some of them are too small. There's a lot. It sounds like a great idea. Right now, King County is buying up all these old hotels. That's easier because they're already residential units, right? Mm-hmm. But some of these office buildings are not easily convertible. So despite the headline or the idea that, hey, let's just open this up because there's all sorts of empty buildings in downtown Seattle, I don't think it's as easy as it sounds. So,
did we do a lot of agreeing?
Well, I just disagreed with you on that one.
Oh, okay. Because somebody texted in and said this segment wasn't good because we agreed a lot.
Oh,
see, they want us to.
Okay,
fight.
Stop looking at the text line.
I wasn't looking at the text line. Somebody told me.
Oh, okay.
All right. Hey, coming up next at 11:30, the crazy things that some reporters will do to make stories more interesting, and what happens when they get caught. You want to stick around for this. We do that next. It's G and Ursula.
It is now 11:34. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Operations. So there was a time when I was a radio reporter. I was out on the streets, as they say, covering stories. And I did it for actually 10 years. And so whenever I hear criticism about reporters and news anchors, et cetera, I always try. My instinct is to try to defend. But some things are just indefensible. Case in point, there is a German TV reporter who is now apologizing after being caught smearing mud on her clothing just before she was going to appear on TV from a town that was ravaged by last week's historic floods. So her name is Susanna Olin, and she says she felt ashamed about reporting from the town in her clean clothes, so she thought it would be a good idea to smear mud on herself so it looked like she was suffering like others in this area where record amounts of rainfall destroyed homes and left dozens of people dead last week. And so she said, She suddenly felt ashamed to stand in front of the camera in her clean clothes, and without thinking, she smeared the mud on her clothing. And at that point, a video of her bending down to spread dirt on her hands and clothing was filmed by an onlooker and posted on social media, and then it goes viral, and then now we're talking about it.
Okay. I'm going to default to you. You have been in the field longer than, well, I've never been in the field, so you educate me. What do you think?
Well, obviously, this woman was ridiculous, and she has lost credibility. And they have not decided what action is going to be taken, but I would take her off reporting for a while. Clearly, she didn't exercise good judgment, and that's going to be hard, especially given the seriousness of this story. But I know that in reporting, there's a lot of pressure, too, when you are, especially a TV reporter. Now, I worked in a TV newsroom. I did an internship for an entire year at a TV newsroom, and there was a point in time where Cairo Radio and Cairo TV would work really closely together. And in fact, there was a time when they wanted to do this out-of-the-box experiment to have TV people do radio, radio people do TV.
How'd that work?
Not well. We just do very different things. But I think that people could do the transition much better now, but I don't like the way that's a whole nother conversation, but I personally don't like the way I look on TV, so I never enjoyed it. I don't want to have to worry about that. I love the immediacy of radio. I love being able to get on the air without having to worry about
how
camera,
you look.
Video. Yeah, how do you look? And, you know.
Because I wouldn't have been able to work. I wouldn't be able to work with the way my lip is set up. I would have been out of work. You know what I mean?
Well, it's better now, but, so I think you would have been okay.
But we got about 5 minutes.
Yeah, so let's talk about a couple of things.
No, uh-huh. Can I go first?
Yes, of course.
I need to go first here because this is something I've been wanting to ask since I was a little boy.
Okay.
And maybe you can help me with this.
Okay.
When I'm watching the news, back when I was younger, I would always sit there and say, oh, watch, here we go. So let's just say that there would be some type of, whether it's a fire or a crime, because, you know, the news leads off with those big stories like that. And I would always say, why, this is me, so I need you to help me, why all the time would they go and do the interview with the person missing teeth in a Jerry Curl cap on, right? Like, they have all of these people to interview, but this is the one that made it on TV. Now, and when I was a kid, I used to say, why do they do that? Why do they show this person when they actually probably had an opportunity to get an actual, a regular interview where someone was able to articulate their words? But no, they wanted to show this person in this particular situation. So when I was younger, Ursula, I used to say, man, come on. Representation matters. Well, I didn't say things like representation matters.
Yeah, wow. You're really advanced.
No. I didn't say that. But back then, I used to say things like, man, why y'all always showing the dude with the Jerry Curl cap, missing teeth, and doing play by play on what happened? Hey,
okay.
Mr. Thurman, what happened?
Let me do an explanation. And this doesn't apply in every single case, but there are times when, let's say you have the morning shift.
Okay.
And they say, go out at 6 in the morning, you got to do a live shot. Well, if you got to do a live shot and you're trying to interview somebody, and this is the problem, and I think many newsrooms are moving away from it, but let's say you need to find someone to give you an opinion. If that is the person who is there to give you an opinion on something you're doing, or maybe that's the witness. Maybe you don't have too many witnesses to choose from because it's 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning, whatever. Okay. And your bosses want you to do this story. You do it live, but you also have people weighing in. Mm-hmm. That's where you have to really use discretion, I think, if you're a reporter. And ask, is this really adding to the story? Is this person necessary to tell my story? And I think many newsrooms are getting much better about that. I will say that.
Okay, Brian Williams got caught too.
Oh, wait, what did Brian Williams do? Oh! Okay, never mind. Okay, yeah.
Brian Williams.
Okay,
he put a little extra sauce on the rice.
Okay, yeah. He's back, though. He's new and improved. Brian Williams is back. Yeah. See, this is where the embellishment goes. Why isn't a story just good enough without the embellishments? And I say this as someone who, there was a time I was covering when we had really strong winds. It was a bad, bad storm. Mm-hmm. And I went up to the top of the I was told, can you go up to the top of the Space Needle? Well, of course it's going to be extra windy at the top of the Space Needle. When you're not in a storm, it's really windy up there, right? But oh no, go up to the top of the Space Needle. I was pregnant at the time, and there was a Johnny on the spot reporter for a TV station locally. I won't mention his name. He's no longer working for that station. But he was always known to be, that's the person you send out, and he's going to be the person in the elements. And so we're doing, he's doing a live shot, I'm doing a live shot. And I realize his live shots are way more interesting than mine, because the camera goes on, and all of a sudden he's blowing around back and forth on this Space Needle. Mind you, I'm very pregnant at this point. I'm like, why am I not blowing around?
I've never heard this explanation, Ursula, so I needed this.
You know, I just say this as someone who's been in this business way too long. The stories are interesting enough. We don't need to add to them, because that's what ends up making us lose our credibility. And as you know, so many people don't trust journalists anymore. And I will say that the really good ones, they don't need that. They don't rely on that. And they're hitting much. So I'm being very careful not to categorize everybody, because unfair too.
206 wants to know if the wind was messing your hair up.
Oh, yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. I looked like a drowned rat for sure.
Oh, somebody said Jim Foreman. Was that the guy?
Okay, I'm not saying.
Oh, my apologies.
I said I was specifically not saying.
Oh, there was a
but
lot
there
of...
was Yes, there was someone who...
Oh, I'm just reading the text.
Yes.
A lot of names. That name came up a lot of times.
Yes. Yes.
And by the way, some of you texters, 253 says, those are the best stories, because ain't nobody got time for that. And by the way, if anybody's listening to that, you know the meme out there. Just look up, because ain't nobody got time for that, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay, that woman was one of my favorite sound bites of all time.
See? So since I've been a kid, I've been wondering why do you guys do that? And people are texting in saying, because those were our favorite clips. Yes. Isn't the story enough? Yeah. Do you really
but
need
that one in particular, you can't put that in the same category. That woman is for real.
How did we make this story a laughing matter?
I don't know, but again, I think the vast majority of journalists are trying to do it right, and they work really hard and don't deserve the grief that they get.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, coming up next, we take your texts, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. It's Jean Ursula. It is the Jean Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. The show has gone fast, and we appreciate you for joining us. But right now, it is time for your texts, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. Ursula?
Okay, and we will start with the comments about Seattle violence. 425 says, gun violence is a catchphrase. There's no such thing. The person that does this is mentally challenged.
206 says, how about we get the criminals off the streets?
And that's the whole point, though. What's the easy answer? 360, so how does defunding the police help save people's lives? Most bad guys are caught during routine traffic stops, and we want to stop those.
206 says, Seattle voters get what they vote for.
And then 360 says, I thought Seattle was a gun-free zone. My guns don't do any violence out here in Mason County. Maybe this is gang violence, not gun violence. And we did talk about gang violence, too, but we need to continue talking about it.
Yes, we do. 425 says, why are you not mentioning gangs and drugs? People struggling do not go out and shoot each other. Mentally ill people are in the minority of gun violence perpetrators. Let's get real. We have a drug and gang problem.
This is labeled Ursula is now a talk show host. 206 says, Ursula, today you proved to me that you are a talk show host and not a news journalist. And that's okay. It's who you are now. It's obvious that President Biden is not okay. To simply soft shoe this issue is not what a journalist or a news reporter does. Be honest about what is going on, whether you are a Democrat or a Republican. You can do better. Please try harder. Okay, just a real quick one on that one. I am a talk show host, and I have been forced now to, as a talk show host, give my opinions. And my opinion is that President Biden does not have dementia. He is old. He is dealing with a lifelong speech impediment. And sometimes he does sound confused. But do I think that he is in the throes of dementia? No.
Yelp reviews. 360 says, I only leave positive reviews. I think if people don't have good reviews, you have your answer.
253 says, here's the reality. You don't want a bad review? Don't give bad service. It's really simple, ain't it?
425 says, as a general contractor, I can say the roofing contractor is right. The tenants cannot legally be a customer of the roofing company. The tenants were weaponizing the review process.
That's true, and it is often used as a weapon. Scenario, paying for everyone's meal, 253 says maybe he could have been more polite about it, but the boyfriend should not be expected to pay for everybody's meal. And I will say it again, I did not hear the whole story properly. And absolutely, that boyfriend should not have been expected to pay for everyone's meal.
Hey, can we get this 253 printed out? 253 says, let me read it slow. Gee, you're right again. Now, just in case you guys didn't hear me. Gee, you're right again. Women want to be equal, but they refuse to pick up the bill. It should not always be a man's responsibility to pay the bill, especially when they are her friends.
Ooh, let me read this one. It just came in from 425, and I'm going to do it really slowly, too.
What?
Ursula, don't let these texters mansplain your job to you. Okay. 253 says, gee, when my wife and I go out to eat, often she gets a beer and I get a fruity drink like a Cosmo. When the drinks come to the table, the waiter always sets the beer in front of me. Why can't a dude get a pink girly drink?
Come on.
And you know what, 425, you get all the girly drinks that you want. And if I like beer, I would buy a beer, but I might get a girly drink right along with you.
Yeah. Basically, fellas, you guys know what I'm talking about. You order a salad and a cheeseburger, and why do they set the cheeseburger in front of you? As if you can't eat a salad. Come on now. They look at Lily, and I get it. You already want to say that you can't believe she's with this guy. Okay, that's fine. But she eats the burger. I eat the salad. Should we well, we don't have time. That's time for Ursula, your words to live by.
Saved by the Bell. You know what? This comes from Laura Ingalls Wilder of Little House on the Prairie fame. It is still best to be honest and truthful, to make the most of what you have, to be happy with simple pleasures, and to have courage when things go wrong. Our words to live by are brought to you by ProClub.com, a club like no other. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us today. It was a pleasure.
Ursula, thank you for always being awesome. And Chris Martin, thank you for your help, sir. We really appreciate you coming through, replacing Chef today. And Andrew, thank you for your work on the board. It's been awesome and amazing. And thank the rest of you for hanging out with us as long as you did. We do this again tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be good.